You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELDWEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELDWEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Want to talk about a new movie? Check. Want to talk about an older movie similar or related to that new movie?
Check.
That's what you can expect from Quality Check Podcast.
It's a new podcast on the Studio DNA Network hosted by yours truly, Drew Douglas and
Daniel Posey. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about a new movie and an old movie to see how the film's quality holds up.
My guest is centricity artist Katie Nicole.
What else? With Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. Feel free to leave some feedback, write a review, or tell a friend about What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name.
So I love origin stories. I'm a big superhero nerd, so I like to go way back to the beginning on how it started. Are we good with that?
Absolutely.
So my first question, I ask everybody of this, it kind of helps me figure out some stuff. Who's mom and dad?
My mom and dad is Tim and Jenny. They are the people who gave me life. And I also have three siblings, so pretty big family.
Three siblings, and where do you land within the lineup?
I'm the third born.
Is Illinois where the origin story begins as well?
I would say yes, because that is the first place I ever lived, and that's where the rest of my blood relatives live, like grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles. They all live in Illinois, and I grew up in a little teeny tiny town, and it's called Tremont, Illinois, and it is, I think it's just, it's so small. It's like 1,000 people. It's very, very tiny. But it was a great place to grow up.
They don't have your name now, like Tremont, Illinois, home of Katie Nicole. They don't have that yet?
I don't think so. And I don't think that they will. Yeah, I don't know. That's funny.
You started singing when you were super young, I'm told. Is that right?
I was very little. I was about 3 years old when I started singing. I don't necessarily like remember it in my memory, but we have home videos of it. So,
oh, will those ever show their wonderful faces on Instagram anytime soon?
There is one specifically on Instagram. If you can find it, let me know. And it was me when I was 5, and I think it was a Christmas play.
Who told you you could sing and you believed them?
Oh, man. You know what? My grandma has always believed in me. Like, from the earliest memories of me singing, she was always encouraging me to do so. She's also the only other like singer in our family. She's just been in a lot of choirs, but she has always just loved music and encouraged that in me. And I also had a vocal coach when I was around 11 that was very encouraging. I got to do little performances and things like that. And you know what? I could have been so bad, but I believed I was good. And I think that's the reason I had confidence. Is because, you know, even if I didn't sound good, I got up and I completely owned it no matter what. Like, it was just, that was who I was as a kid and a very big personality.
Where did that confidence come from?
You know, to be honest, I really don't know. I think it was more of just like a, I don't care what anybody thinks, so I'm going to do it. I think that's something that can be good, but it also kind of got me into some trouble when I was a kid. So,
are you still fearless?
You know what? I think I had to be. For the last few years of my life, if I wasn't, you know, I don't know that I would have made it through a lot of the things that I've been through. I would say fearless may not even be the right word. It's more of just that I have the courage to do things that I'm afraid of. And I think that's the best way to be fearless, is to do something even though you're afraid to do it.
You said you were a bit of a troublemaker growing up. Give me a Katie Nicole getting in trouble story.
I was really bad in school. So I think you could ask any of my teachers from like elementary school, middle school days, and they would say she was the loudest kid in my classroom. And I don't know what I was overcompensating for, but I had to always be the center of attention. I was obnoxious in a way that's like, I had to just be funny. And usually the stuff I said wasn't funny. So I'd just get set in the hallway. Like, they'd put me in the hallway because I was being too loud. And I had a hard time focusing in class because school isn't really my thing. I dropped out of college, so I'm a college dropout. but I would say that I've always been kind of a talkative person, I would say. My funny college story is that I got a presidential honors scholarship to a community college. Okay. Which I don't know if that's hard to get, because I was like, I'm not actually the smartest cookie in the jar, so this doesn't add up. But I took it and I was like, okay, I'm going to run with this. And I had to take a total of, I think, 5 classes in order for me to keep this scholarship. And not only that, but I had to keep a certain GPA level. And one of the classes that I was taking was a college success course, okay? It's literally to teach you how to be successful in college. It was the one class that I had to go to in person. And my teacher, I can only describe her as just like, she did not want to be there and she did not like her job. We had to do a project on someone we wanted to like be, like a career, like someone in the career we're already doing. So I interviewed Josh Havens from The Afters, who is a college dropout because he got signed to a Sony record label when he was, I don't know, 20 years old or something like that. The one thing that this teacher hated the most was college dropouts. She also thought that what I wanted to do was stupid. You know, I was about to go into the medical field, but at this time I was ready to step into the Christian music industry because I had believed that that was what I was meant to do. And so I told this teacher, I was like, I want to be a musician. And she was like, that's dumb. And I was like, oh, I did this project. I missed one thing on the project. Like, I had spent so much time on this and I had gone through the list of things I was going to need just because I wanted to make this like a great project. And I could tell she was just not having it the whole time I was giving the presentation. I failed the entire project.
Oh!
I failed the entire thing. My GPA dropped low enough that I got removed from the Presidential Honors Scholarship. And now I was going to have to pay for college all on my own. And like, it just, literally she said to me, she was like, do you feel like you can provide for your family that way? Because I just don't think you're going to be able to do that.
Where did wanting to become a medical assistant, where did that come from? Is it something you saw on TV? Did you find it fascinating? What was it?
Being in and out of doctors has always made me interested in it. But I think the thing that motivated me the most was the fact that I was always Katie the singer. Like, Katie was only the singer. And like, that's the only identity she had in life. And I just wanted to be something other than that. And so I walked into this class with no one even knowing that I did music at all. And I was like, I'm going to make some friends who have no idea what I do in life. And also, I'm going to do something that I can I can prove that I can be successful in, and that I can do something that's not music related and I can still be like good at it kind of thing. And it was more of a, something I have to prove to myself. It wasn't necessarily that there was anyone else that I had to prove it to, because all of those people weren't really in my life anymore that considered me Katie the singer. It was just something that I kind of fell in love with when I started it. And then by the end of it, I was like, okay, this isn't for me. But it was a great experience, and I now am certified as a medical assistant, so I can, you know, take your blood glucose levels.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
During that time, you're at a concert and you have this moment of, I want to do that.
Yeah. So the year 2019 kind of was a crazy year for me, because I was about to quit music completely. And I was about to just go straight into the medical field when I was done with medical assisting, like the certification program. I ended up being invited to a Lauren Daigle concert, and I had already loved Lauren's music, but I just kind of, you know, I'd never been to like a Christian concert of that magnitude. And I had only been to Christian concerts. I had never been to a secular concert before. Being invited to this concert, like, I didn't expect for it to just like completely touch me in the way that it did. I mean, I was in the nosebleeds. Like, Lauren was like an ant. Like, I could not see her. But you know what? I felt in that moment, I think it was when she started playing Still Rolling Stones, it just had this feeling of like, you're going to do that someday. And I was like, there's no way. Who said that? I'm in an arena in that moment. And I'm like, there is no way I'll ever play a place this large, of this magnitude, in my entire life. I left that and I said a prayer. I remember writing in my prayer journal and I said, you know, God, I just pray over whatever this was. You know, I pray that, you know, if this is what you want me to do, that you'd show me, you'd open the doors to that. You know, I don't believe that that's what you would want from me, because it seems kind of too far out of reach. But who am I to put a limit on my God? Like, that is just ridiculous. It was only about 3 months after that concert that I ended up being in contact with the VP of Centricity Record Label, which is Lauren Daigle's record label. I don't know what happened in that moment that just, I mean, I had a faith that if God was going to do it, he was going to do it. But I also had this doubt of like, that's crazy kind of thing, you know? And I have to say, I'm playing my first arena. I am playing Bridgestone Arena for the Chris Tomlin Good Friday Easter service. So isn't that crazy that I would be standing in an arena going, God, there's no way, to, oh, there is a way. And it's happening right now.
What is it like when you get the phone call or when you get the email? What, take me back to that moment.
So I posted a video of me singing a Jordan Feliz song on Instagram. Mind you, I did not have TikTok. I was not famous by any sort of stretch. Okay. I had about 1,000 followers on Instagram. I got a message after posting this video. Jordan Feliz had reposted it on his page. And that was a big deal, because I was like, Jordan Feliz knows who I am. And then I got a message the next day, and it was John Mayes, but I didn't know who that was. I had no idea. And so my first instinct was ignore. Because it just looked like, oh, who's this old guy that's sliding into my DMs on Instagram, you know? So I was like, all right, moving on. And then I was very close to Josh Havens at the time. And usually I just send things through him to like figure out if it's actually like an actual legit like person. And he was like, you do realize that that is the vice president of Centricity Record Label. And I was like, No, I didn't know that. So I get this message and, you know, he's saying that he wants to come to Arizona, which is where I was living at the time. And he wants to meet me. And I'm like, why in the world would you want to meet me? Like, this is weird. He's coming out. But the thing was, is that this was in 2020 and this was the day that the world shut down. So we didn't even get to meet on the day that we were supposed to. So, you know, we stayed in contact for the next few months. And I would send him songs. We would regularly have like meetings where, you know, Zoom, FaceTime, like we had to talk over that because we weren't able to talk in person and things like that. And eventually he had like mentioned why he wanted to talk to me. And it was because he wanted to invite me to a songwriting retreat. And it was just basically a way to meet some different people in the industry, to write with some different writers and things like that. And I was like, that is the coolest thing. And also I'm very much honored, like this is the same writing retreat that Lauren got signed at. This is the same one that Jordan got signed at. I was just like, this is kind of crazy that, you know, and I'm honored by all means. And so I think in that moment, I was just like, okay, I'm going to work my tail off to just figure out this Christian music writing thing. So a few months go by, the retreat gets canceled because of COVID. And so instead, John is like, would you like to come to Tennessee and have a writing week here? And I was like, yes, of course I would. That'd be like Candyland for a songwriter. And so I came out and I ended up writing like 5 songs. And by the end of it, we listened to all of the songs I had written. And he said, we want to offer you a development deal. I mean, I know nothing about record deals, but in that moment, I was like, are you sure you want me? You can back out right now if you want to. So I'm obviously like, okay, this is crazy. I can't believe this is happening. Then a week goes by, I meet with their leadership team, and this is like a Zoom call when I get back home. And I thought I bombed that. It was like a job interview, and I was like, I think they hate me. I think they hate me now. I don't know what I just did. And about 3 hours go by, and I'm panicking. I'm like, they're about to take the record deal back. But instead, I got a phone call that they wanted to give me a full-on artist deal and a publishing deal. So I was now a full-on record deal. Like that was it. That's as high as you can get in record deals. And so I was like, again, are you sure? You don't have to do this to yourselves. And so I just, it was all, you know, up from there. Like it just was a crazy experience of with lawyers and things I'd never dealt with in my entire life that I had no idea how to navigate. But you know what? God got me through it. And here I am on the other side.
When did you come into a friendship with Jesus? Has it been all your life or?
You know, I've been a Christian my whole life and I grew up going to church. And I would say that I didn't come to know Jesus until I was dealing with a lot of the health stuff that I was dealing with. And I don't even know, again, like when that exactly happened. It was more of like, I have nothing to hold on to and I need Jesus right now. I mean, what a friend we have in Jesus, because I would not have made it through those moments if it wasn't for him and the way that he has just held on to me. I found the Lord through doing worship and finding the Holy Spirit through that. And I also just felt like there's so much that I didn't know. And I was grateful to start learning about those things about God to build an intimacy in our relationship. And my prayer journal has also just helped me grow in that as well. And in my faith, in a place that I never thought I could ever be. And I'm just so grateful that I'm in that place now. And I know the Lord.
May I ask about scoliosis?
Sure. I mean, ask away.
I know nothing about it, but I looked at your Instagram and I saw this video or some photos from 2015 and some x-rays. And all I said was, wow.
Yeah. So I was born with something called congenital scoliosis. It is a deformity in the spine and it makes it all curvy as you saw. But the type of scoliosis that I have is very progressive and can even be life-threatening. When I was 5 was when I was diagnosed, and doctors were saying, like, she might not be able to walk by the age of 10. And, you know, like, she may have a lot of issues. And the thing was, is that by the age of 10, I not only was I walking, but I was running and I was doing backflips on the couch, which I don't recommend. Don't do that. It's dangerous. But I just, you know, I beat the odds every time that someone said I couldn't do something. I don't believe that I beat the odds because of anything that I can do, but because of everything that God can do. I knew about God my entire life, and I always recognized his presence. You know, even though I didn't have that close and intimate relationship until I was around 18, I recognized the goodness of God, even as a young person. And through the hard things that I had been through, and I was in and out of doctors, you know, all my life. By the age of 14, I was told I was going to need back surgery, which was very, very scary. You know, they said that they were going to have to put metal rods and screws in my spine to straighten it out. And they were going to have to go in and kind of rearrange my spine in order for it to, you know, straighten out completely. And that was really scary because it could damage a lot of things inside of me, all the fun stuff. After the surgery happened, I came out of the surgery and I really thought like, okay, this is going to be like life-changing in a good way. Because I'd seen a lot of other kids get this surgery and they'd been totally fine. They came out, they got to go back to living their normal life. Some of them were even just as active as they were before. And because, I mean, a lot of people do live with metal in their body. And for me, what ended up happening is I came out of the surgery and I was in excruciating pain every single day. Pain that I can only describe as like, you just want to curl up in a ball and lay there forever. Like you don't want to move. Not only that, but I was dealing with severe mental blocks, depression that was just horrible, like a dark smoke cloud that literally was just over my head at all times, and anxiety that made me not want to leave the house and not want to see people because I was just afraid I was going to have, you know, a moment of like panic in front of them. And so dealing with all of this, it was just like a tornado had blown through my life. A year goes by and I'm in a place now where I've seen every single doctor. Every doctor has said to me, well, we don't know why the pain is happening and we're sorry. You can go to a pain management clinic or go to a therapist. Maybe it's, you know, more in your head, which is just awful to hear. You know, you think you're crazy and you're not actually feeling what you're feeling. And I got to a place where I didn't understand it. I kept saying, why God? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? You know, why? Why? You know, I think there's nothing wrong with asking those hard questions to God, especially. I got to a place where I was like, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. And I had picked up a bottle of pills that was sitting on my dresser. And I was like, it would be that easy. And I picked up that bottle of pills. But then I just felt God saying to me, like, I'm not done yet. I'm not done. You know, it wasn't like a literal voice that I could hear. It was just something in me that was like, he's not done with you yet. Put the bottle of pills down. I never picked that bottle of pills back up. And I held on to that I'm not done yet. And I believed that. I don't know why I believed that, because I was in a place that I think was probably the lowest place I've ever been in my life, to the point where I just literally said, you know, I may not make it to tomorrow kind of thing. And by year three, so this goes on now for 3 years of my entire life. Like that is 3 years I will never get back. I don't think a single second of that was wasted. I think that every moment had its purpose. And ultimately, seeing God's plan unfold, I now know why everything happened the way that it did. But by year three, a doctor came onto my team. She looked at me and she said, I believe you and we're going to fix this. That showed me that, number one, I wasn't crazy. And number two, that was hope. That was the hope that I had been searching for this entire 3 years of my life. So she said to me that the only option was going to be to remove the metal rods and screws. And she said, it's riskier than keeping them in your back. This could cause a lot more damage. You know, just know that there's a lot of risk involved in all of this, but we'll do our best to make sure that you come out of it better than you went in, you know? So they go in, I'm 18 years old. It starts at 15, then I get them removed at 18. Once they were removed, I wake up from the surgery and like, I don't remember the first surgery. I don't remember waking up from the first surgery. But I very vividly remember like the moment I opened my eyes, I'm in an ICU. There's not a window in this room. And I just saw the light break through for the first time. I felt that dark smoke cloud just completely gone. I knew that the Lord was in that room with me. And he was telling me that it was going to be okay. And he had a purpose for me moving forward. And you know what? That moment, I will never forget it. And I don't think that there will ever be a moment that's like that again. I think that was a one time, like I'd never experienced anything like it before. Then after the surgery, I get x-rays taken. And what they find is that my spine is now straighter without the metal rods and screws in it. And there's no medical explanation for that one. Sometimes God just shows off. I would say that that was one of those moments where I could see God's miracles right in front of me. And I am grateful for that every single day of my life. I mean, he has shown up. You know, it was right after this surgery too that I finally stepped into my calling in life, my purpose in life. And that was to be completely devoted to Jesus every single day in whatever I did. All kind of a crazy, connected, God-orchestrated story that, I mean, you'll look back at it and you'll be like, all the puzzle pieces went together.
How are you feeling now? How are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say that healing is a journey, healing is a process. I'd like to be like, yes, I am completely pain-free every single day of my life. But unfortunately, I do have a genetic disorder that's called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I've had it this entire time, but didn't get diagnosed until after the surgery, the second surgery. Basically, it's a connective tissue disorder. So my collagen is deficient in my body, and connective tissue is what keeps your joints held together. It's like the glue. So mine's basically like a worn out rubber band. And so all my joints are kind of sort of falling apart. It's a weird thing, but it doesn't really affect me as much as it could, because a lot of people who deal with this deal with some severe health issues. And so I am grateful that every day I wake up and I'm strong and I can walk and I can do things that, you know, I was never able to do. I would say that the pain is quite minimal. I've just recently, you know, dealt with some back stuff. But other than that, I feel good. I feel like God is keeping me strong. I am really grateful for the health that I have.
Is there a story behind the nickname Squirrel Tails?
Oh, no. Where did you get that? Who's giving you this? Who do you know? Okay. Alrighty. So Squirrel Tails actually has to do with my eyebrows. And I was in the green room at my church in Arizona. Josh walks in and I'm talking about my eyebrows. And I'm like, gosh, why are they so bushy like squirrel tails? So from that day on, and I mean, that was the moment that he walked into the room. So I'm literally looking at my eyebrows and I'm like, why are they so bushy? Why do they look like squirrel tails? And he walks through the door and he goes, that'd be such a nice name. And then he started calling me that. And I was just like, why? Why do I do this to myself? I caused myself issues.
Second question, final question. How much do you love SpongeBob SquarePants? And if so, favorite episode?
You know what? I love SpongeBob SquarePants enough to have a t-shirt and two sweatshirts with his face on it. So if I'm willing to wear it in public, I think that's probably a deep love for SpongeBob. And I would probably say my favorite episode is the Sunday episode. It's where they have like bad breath and they go, Sunday, and then green stuff comes out and then like everyone like they all get like grossed out by his breath. And then it's the moment, this is the best part of the episode. It's when they're on the roof of SpongeBob's house and they think they're ugly because their breath is stinky and they don't know that their breath is stinky. And Patrick doesn't even have a nose, so he can't smell it. And so they're on the roof and they go, I'm ugly and I'm proud. I'm ugly and I'm proud. And they get to the point where they're yelling this off the rooftop because they think that they're ugly and they're not aware that their breath stinks. It's just really funny and you had to be there. So if you haven't seen that episode, go watch it right now because it's important in pop culture.
Katie, you are an absolute delight. And I just want to say to you, congratulations on your first song being at the top of the mountain. And I would just say, if I can pass along some wisdom to you, surround yourself with great people. Yeah. Surround yourself with people you trust. Enjoy the ride. Katie, this has been great. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. This was awesome.
What Else with Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. Feel free to leave some feedback, write a review, or tell a friend about What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.